Welcome to the Marketing Intern Spotlight. A marketing intern is a listener who's spreading our message authentically. Hear their story, their passion, and their journey. Enjoy. Today, we have Gregory Ebosher here on the Back Pocket Podcast. Third string producer, hasn't sat in on a podcast in quite some time, but he's here today. Let's get this bread. How are you doing today, Greg?
Oh, I'm doing phenomenal. So thankful to be here. Just really appreciate you guys having me on. Really been looking forward to this opportunity.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming ever since we started the Marketing Intern Spotlight, 18, 19 weeks ago? It was like...
This is the 20th, yeah.
Yeah, this is the 20th one. We're like, God, we need Greg. We need Greg. You were the first people we thought of. So we're excited to have you here.
Thank you, Deck. I appreciate that.
All right, so before we dive in, you know, let's get your story. What's your why, man? Like, let's just get into it right away. Give the people what they want. Let's hear it.
Oh, man, dude. I was really hoping you'd ask me this question. I love talking about where I grew up, how I grew up, and all that. So I grew up, born in the city of Chicago, Illinois. Grew up in Park Ridge, which is a suburb right outside the city of Chicago. Okay. So, yeah, biggest thing about me, I mean, about my childhood is definitely played sports my whole life. Football, basketball, baseball, lacrosse, wrestling.
Just a total competitor.
Yeah, I mean, it's just always been what I've loved to do. And so I would say that was really what Dick really taught me all the life lessons growing up. And so then I went and played football for Andrew's uncle in high school, Dave and Sarah. He's head coach of the Maine South Hawks.
Winningest coach in Illinois history.
Mm-hmm. I think 5 or 6 state championships.
6.
Yeah. Oof, that's excellent. Mm-hmm. So I played football for him for 2 years on the varsity level. And I think the Maine South football program taught me quite a lot about life. And I made my best friends there. Hopefully some guys listening, Tyler Bolger, Clay Berlick.
I heard Clay, I went to a Maine South game the other day, or a couple weeks ago when they were in the playoffs, and I just heard a lot of rumblings about Clay, and he was just kind of, I heard Clay and liability. It was kind of, can you confirm?
Oh, absolutely. Probably the biggest liability, biggest ego. Yeah.
You know, whatever. He seemed like, I mean, he told us he was a teammate guy, which I'm sure he was, but, you know.
Yeah, shout out Brio, formerly Yo Eats.
Yeah, absolutely. Team guy, as long as he got his touches.
Yeah, of course.
And we blocked well for him. Tyler Bolger, Clay Berlick. Two guys that really formed me. My other buddy, Billy Gorman. We became real good buddies in high school. And then Phil Ulick too. Hopefully he's listening. And then probably the other key part about my growing up and who I am is definitely my parents, my mom, my dad, and also my sister. And they've really formed me into the man I am today, giving me the values of faith and family, and really brought me up the right way, taught me to work hard, be humble, be thankful, and So that's. And now all that brought me to St. Thomas.
Yeah, the football connection brought us three together.
Right.
And as you mentioned, you played for my uncle. And just to kind of connect the dots for our marketing interns, this was senior year, probably February, maybe even March. Like, it was late into, like, deciding you're going to go to school. And my uncle texted me saying, hey, we have a kid on our team. You might know him. I might have trained with him at EFT a few times. That's looking to play at St. Thomas, but he's really undecided. I'd love for you to talk to him.
Yeah.
So he shot me your number, or he gave me, or one of the two. I think you might have called me.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for 20, maybe 30 minutes, and I was already committed to St. Thomas. Mm-hmm. I was super stoked about the program and ready to just compete in the Twin Cities. So like we spent 20 minutes talking about it, and I was not necessarily convincing you, but just kind of like giving you like where my train of thought was. And then you're like, all right, I'll just go on a recruiting trip and see spring ball practice.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had already committed.
I already committed by that
then
point.
Then you committed.
Then I committed. This is what I remember.
Okay.
So Coach and Sarah wanted me to talk to Andrew. And now, Declan, this is probably something you've never heard before. But
yeah,
so Clay and I, we used to train at EFT. And AI was over there. He was, just skinny. Just looked exactly like his uncle, who's just our tough football coach. He's hard on us, tough love. And Andrew's just, me and Clay were like, who is this guy? He's got that same AI stare, just big eyes, you know, eyebrows scrunched together, looking at you, just staring into like your soul. Like super serious, Andy serious. Yeah, yeah.
Buzz cut.
Can't tell a joke for his life, but somewhat good at football.
I'm a pretty good football player.
Great football player. Yeah. Competitor, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Did you train with him?
And yeah, and yes. And so me and Claire were like, what's this guy all about? You know, like Dave's nephew looks and acts exactly like Dave. Let's see. And so Dave recommended I talk to Andrew, and thank God I did. I mean, I think it's been one of the best friendships, relationships I've had in my life. And I mean, it's brought me to where I am today. So back to what happened. I was on my way up there for my first recruiting visit, and you shot me a text, and you're like, hey, have a great time. Like, this is what's going to go on. And you explained everything to me, and you said why you love the program. I went, and all the same reasons aligned perfectly. I committed. I texted you, and I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And we're roommates. And then we both went up spring ball,
yeah,
and we ate at the bonfire, right?
Bonfire with Kimmy. She was still there. She was finishing her shout out to Cerezo Cupcakes, formerly a sponsor of the Back Pocket Podcast.
Formerly?
Yeah, she's not a sponsor anymore.
She quit sending us cupcakes for some reason.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. But yeah, then we ended up, so you came up and we committed to living with each other, and then it ended up roommates for the next 4 years.
That's right.
It's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Damn.
And that led you to becoming a producer on the Back Pocket Podcast.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yo, I remember when you were, how many times did you produce for us?
Once.
Once. Yeah. The one time it was like end of the Bears season and you guys just signed like Mike Glennon or something. And I was like, feel good story of the week. Mike Glennon to the Bears, like super stoked about it. Greg, like best sign in history. I was just like pumping it up, and you were just shocked at like what I was saying. I was being totally sarcastic, but you thought I was just totally serious. That's the one thing I remember about that episode.
I was offended that you said that. Mike Glennon, good guy. Not a good quarterback.
So now you're one of the coolest things I think what I remember about you, Greg, was. Dude, you were just a workhorse, and you've stayed that way your whole life. And you can kind of, hopefully it's coming out on the podcast a little bit for the guys that don't know you, but holy shit. Like,
thanks, Doc.
You and I grinded on the scout team for 4 years, bro.
4 years.
It was nuts, dude.
Oh, man.
And, you were just my guy out there. Cause it was definitely. Like you and I just tried to outwork everyone no matter what. And
I mean, like, I think that's probably. Well, I think our sophomore year was when our like friendship really started to form into what it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just had a mutual understanding and mutual respect for each other's work ethic, each other's why, each other's purpose in life. And I couldn't have done it without you, man. Like those days were brutal. I'd come out there some days and just be like, dude, Deck, I don't know if I can make it another day. And just Declan's positive attitude. Like, let's go, Greg. Come on, get hyped. And you and never failed, man. I'm indebted to you for the day I die for that. Like, you made those days for
me. It goes the other way, though, too, because, you know, I'm trying to go out there and make plays, and I'm pumping you up.
That's right.
And, dude, Greg's making the plays, dude. And, like, if there's one person that, like, ran to every single ball and was, like, the guy at the – like, I would just tell everyone to watch Greg because I'm like, dude, Mark and I and myself, we just watch you. And you'd be just freaking balling out there. It was awesome. And, like, the weirdest thing was, like, the coaches noticed for sure, but it wasn't, like, you never really got that gratitude, to be honest. No one, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you were never recognized for it, to be honest. Yeah. Never fully recognized. So I think that was, like, one of our things that we always stayed true to was, like, doing it regardless of whether or not you got recognition for it.
Right.
And we would just recognize each other for it, really. And that's where it all kind of started, dude.
Right. I agree. There's a high school coach I had. one of his sayings was his pride, his personal responsibility and daily efforts. And I think that how we took responsibility of our efforts in scout team, I mean, I really like to think it really made the team a lot better, too.
I hope so, yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, and it certainly, I mean, weren't gonna play, so what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, what else are you gonna do? You gotta go out, show up, and just make it work.
Dominate, baby.
Dominate.
Dude, I firmly believe that the 30 seniors that were lost in this past graduating class of 2017 football season, that transformed that program to like have the high expectations. Mm-hmm. Like, we totally not, I'm not saying like it was us only, but mm-hmm. we played an awesome role in this mm-hmm. to motivate the younger people to push themselves and also to keep the people that were performing as starters to hold on to their jobs. Like, hey, we're going to be sniffing the whole time. Like, we're never going to give up. That's mm-hmm. that's just the reality. We're never giving up, right. no matter if we got looks or not, like genuine, honest looks.
Right.
It didn't care. We were never going to give up.
We never did. And we never did. I mean, this is probably a whole, like a separate topic for another day. But like, yeah, I mean, it felt like sometimes that no matter what I did, no matter what you did, no matter what, I mean, nothing ever really seemed to come of it. And you know, that's okay. Like, I mean, we're definitely not the most athletic guys out on that field.
No, you're looking at three wildly average athletes.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the mics right now.
Yeah, but I mean, but those lessons of what that taught us about never giving up and about relying on your brothers when you're feeling down and how you need brothers to carry you through times where you don't think you can keep going. I mean, that's what and those lessons are what I will carry. And I think that that's better than what I ever gained from any success that I ever had in football, which, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate. I've had quite a lot of success in college. I did not. And I think I've learned infinitely more about life and about football and about people from my experience in college because of that. And I'm thankful for it.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And I'm glad we all stuck through it too. Cause mm-hmm. there's multiple times and other players too that are, you know, probably tuning in where it's like, yeah, they had to hang it up or chose to hang it up at some point.
Right.
And you know, for whatever reason, it's their own thing. But,
right.
I never really thought about quitting, but I always thought about what my life would be like without football mm-hmm. when I still had the opportunity to play. And I would just always it was an immediate feeling of regret of mm-hmm. just like mm-hmm. you didn't maximize what you could have done mm-hmm. type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right back to your point in saying football is a game of life. And I definitely learned so much just from being kind of the bottom feeder and just the grinder for 4 years because I just learned how to outwork everyone.
Right.
And then now that's all I know how to do. And when we interviewed Caruso on the podcast, that was one thing that we took away was all of the Caruso mannerisms and all the things that he taught us for those 4 years. Like us three were probably the biggest, we had the biggest ears when he was talking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. we really soaked that in. And mm-hmm. Andrew and I have attacked everything we've done in this podcast just through Caruso.
Right.
And that's what we realized when we interviewed him. We're like, oh man, you're like the reason why we say and do and act the way we are, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, so for me, I think it's really special because I am, again, like I said, I've been really fortunate to play under a lot of great, great football coaches.
Right.
I'm say his name here, Jason Kafrowski. Maybe he's listening. he was a great coach.
A lot of shout outs.
Then Scott Tumulty, he was a three-time, he's like a three-sport All-American in college. Played under him my sophomore year. Your uncle Caruso, and I just it was just a growth of just a better coach each and every time, and it just culminated with Caruso, and now we're able to carry that forth into our lives. And I mean, it's just it's really cool, really, really cool.
And now we're sitting here, it's 2018. Andrew mm-hmm. and I are graduated.
That's right.
You're finishing up in your super senior year.
Yes.
You graduate. You said you had five classes left in your last semester of college.
I've got 5 days of class left.
Oh my god, that's crazy. So how has it kind of been? How many of our friends now, or how many mm-hmm. people around you are not in school? And you're still grinding. What's that like right now?
Yeah, not great.
Really, you don't like it?
No. I got Peter though. Peter Olson.
Yeah, sure.
So Peter and I, my roommate, he's still grinding. He's still in school. It's really tough, or I shouldn't say that. It's different seeing your friends reap the rewards of their school, and they're making pretty good money, and when they're done, they come home and they have their lives. And you know, when you're done, you are studying, and that's okay. It's just how it is. And I feel like I put in my time studying right now, and I'm ready to move on and get a real job.
There you go.
Start making a little extra.
Become a big boy.
Yeah, make some cash and become a little independent. But I gotta finish, and I gotta finish strong, and we're working through it. We'll get there.
There you go. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
Let's hit you with the average quality, man. You know the drill at this
mm-hmm,
point.
Mm-hmm.
We've already been touching on our average qualities. You know, the average 40 time between us three is probably a 4.95.
Bro, I had a good 40.
Andrew had a good 40.
Andrew's pretty fast.
Yo, but I think that's the thing about the three of us is if we were all combined into one person, we would probably be a good-ass football player. Because, Andrew's fast. you're just lifting a ton of weight, and like I don't bring much physicality to the table, but I definitely have some smarts. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like the the IQ is there, maybe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of giving myself that.
And the passion.
And the passion, sure, yeah. Sure. The mindset, yeah, totally.
Right. It's all right there.
But getting back to the back pockets core concept, baby. Wildly average guys.
Mm-hmm.
What is Greg Ebosher's average quality?
Mm. That's a great question. I thought about this one pretty hard today. I would say I am a, as far as guitar players go, I'm a wildly average guitar player. I love to play the guitar. I love music. Music is probably one of the five things that defines me. It's something I'm so passionate about. I love it. And I'm wildly average at guitar for a guitar player.
Would you say you give yourself that wildly average attribute because you envision yourself being much better 5 years from now?
Yes.
That's dope.
I'm really hoping to be playing in a band. When I move home in the spring, my buddy Billy and I were trying to start a little band, get it rolling a little bit.
Let's go, like covers?
Oh, yeah.
Only
yeah.
Joel, only 80s Joel music, or what are you thinking?
Oh, come on now. We're going to go 60s, 70s, there you a go. Little bit of 80s.
What's great about you is, I've been playing guitar since I was a senior, and I've kind of taken a backseat in the probably last year.
Right, right.
But in that last year, you just started, and it's just been so cool to see you grow from just like trying to hitting a G chord, and now you're playing Sweet Home Alabama like it's nothing.
It's really fun. I'm really thankful, and I think even more impressive is Steve Harrell. I mean, Steve started from nothing, and Steve's gotten quite a lot better. Steve's been a big reason why I keep progressing. So
yeah, you're surrounded by Steve, which is just like he's playing guitar every day.
Right, and no excuses. It's that brotherhood thing again, like pushing you and. It's cool.
Yeah. What's your favorite song to play right now?
Oh, right now. This is an easy one. Over the Hills and Far Away, Led Zeppelin.
Yes, dude. Yeah. I love that song. You can play the intro to that song?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Really?
Oh, look, gets me going.
That's great. We got to throw that in like as we're talking about this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get Sam on it.
Yeah, we'll put our newest producer on it,
yeah,
and intern. But why the guitar? Like, how was there a reason behind the guitar? Mm-hmm. And then you taught yourself the guitar through watching YouTube videos, and I think that's another really cool thing. Like no one really needs an instructor anymore or like to pay someone to learn these like skills because like even for me trying to edit software like our video, and now with my new job, like I'm on YouTube all the time, University learning the next thing, and it's so available for us. So let's get back to that. Why the guitar, and then how did you learn to play?
So I'll start with how I learned first. I actually took lessons for a couple years when I was younger. I think like eighth grade through freshman year of high school, I think. And that was really good. It was a small foundation. I never practiced. I never took it seriously. I really wanted to mimic my heroes, you know. I had Lynyrd Skynyrd, Ronnie Van Zant, who's the guitarist for Lynyrd Skynyrd. So I just wanted to play the songs. I didn't really want to put in the effort and the time. So that's where I got my start. And then how I've learned since is, yes, YouTube. And then what was the other one? What was the other question?
Yeah, so like that growth on YouTube. You're just continuing to watch YouTube videos to figure it out. Whether it's just learning like the proper chords in like a chorus, or trying to get in depth and learning a full song.
Mm-hmm.
It's been all YouTube.
Yes, as of late, yes. And it's been and I also, another thing I've started doing recently, which is really hard for me, but I'll listen to songs if there's no videos on YouTube, and I'll try to just figure it out, and just trial and error. And I think that's really, that really, really helps you become a better player, because it just helps you learn the neck of the guitar and where the different sounds and where they're located. And then I think the other part of the question was, why did I choose a guitar? And that was, I mean, that's an easy one. My favorite music in the world is classic rock, and then also I like country music and the blues, and all those music genres are, the guitar is the main instrument, and I just wanted to be like those guys who, you know, they just get up on the stage and they can just absolutely rip it, and they're so disciplined in their practice, and it looks like just so much fun. I love making the sounds of music. So I wanted to be like those guys.
Are you going to, when you join your band in the next couple months here, which we'll have to get you back on when you do start the band,
mm-hmm.
are you going to grow your hair back out?
No, absolutely not.
So you're just going to be like a clean cut, like guy mm-hmm. who shreds the guitar?
Yeah, I'm going to try to be. I love that. Yeah.
Are you learning from Marty Songs, guitar
jam? Oh, yeah, Marty's good.
Isn't that just amazing? That guy blows my mind because he's everywhere. But what's funny is you can look like up an old song that he did, because he's been recording, he's been teaching people how to play guitar on YouTube forever. For those who like don't play guitar, this guy, if you Google like how to play Leaving on a Jet Plane by any song, pretty much Marty Schwartz with Guitar Jams has done it.
Right.
And anyone that plays guitar is just smiling right now.
Yeah, Marty, yeah.
But
dude, Marty Schwartz, baby.
What's the best part about him is he's, you can see the progression too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at like a recent video now, you're like, damn, this dude's balling. But when you look at his old videos, it's like he recorded on an iPhone 3.
He's tough.
And it's just like, but you still learn the song. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. So
he's so patient.
He is. Yeah. Oh, I love that guy. Shout out to Marty.
Yeah, shout out.
That's phenomenal, dude.
Yeah.
I got a good question for you. What is in your back pocket? So when you're playing these songs, and for the people who haven't played guitar, it's not easy when you first start. Like mm-hmm. you have to make your fingers bleed. You got to continue to try and switch your the chords, and just it's muscle memory. It's mm-hmm. building the foundation so that you can enable yourself to play these really cool songs.
Mm-hmm.
So what was in your back pocket in those situations where, you know, things weren't going your way and mm-hmm. it was just kind of frustrating?
Yeah, I mean, I think that when you struggle on guitar, it's like when you struggle in any other aspect of life. And
mm-hmm.
when you asked me, when you told me I was going to be getting this question earlier today, I thought about it for a minute. And then I thought, there's two things that gets me through times where I'm really struggling. The first one is just getting after it. Whatever you have to do that day, whatever the problem is, whatever the issue is, make a plan of attack and just hammer and get it done and work and just go until it's done, or you literally can't go anymore. And then you regroup, rest, however you do that, play a little guitar, work out, and then you hammer it out again the next day. And then I think the other component to it is my faith, and just having faith that things will all work out, and having faith that there's a reason for why problems, happenstances occur, and trusting that if I hammer and get after it, that it will be provided and I'll stay on the path and it'll all work out for myself and keeping the faith.
The war path. The dude, worthy path, dude.
Shout out Jocko Willett.
Shout out Jocko. Right? Oh, man.
That's phenomenal, man.
That guy's my favorite.
I think one of the coolest things that we were able to experience, and it kind of has the same lines as what you just mentioned, is you and I going down to Iowa to see Jordan Peterson speak.
Oh, man.
This is when I was like in between jobs, so I had some free time. Not knowing I was going to have free time, but Greg shoots me a text like 3 months prior, like, Jordan Peterson's coming to Des Moines, Iowa. He already came to Minnesota and we missed him, and we're not going to be in Chicago when he's going through there. So, like, we got to see him on his book tour. You want to go see him? I was like, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then a week beforehand, you remind me, like, hey, we still doing this? I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. Let's go do it. And we just jumped in a car Tuesday morning. Drove down to Des Moines from Minneapolis, which is mm-hmm. like a 3.5-4 hour drive, and spent the day in Des Moines, like just kind of sightseeing mm-hmm. that with what was there, pretty much nothing, and got some dinner, and then went over and saw Jordan Peterson speak for 2.5 hours. And mm-hmm. dude, it was so intense.
Oh,
and
man.
Talk about just getting after it, and also having faith. Mm-hmm. Those two principles are very strong into what Jordan Peterson preaches, right. And I was so happy you thought of me to go down to Des Moines mm-hmm. because that was truly like an impactful day.
It was, mm-hmm. yeah. I was so thankful you wanted to go and you were happy. I mean, it's not many people who would be willing to go see a philosopher, psychologist speak on a Tuesday night, 3.5-4 hours away from your home. So
and drive back that same night.
And drive back that same night. So it's, I mean, special friend, you know.
I mean, for the record. When you texted us, or when Andrew told us about it, I was like, I really want to go, but I just can't take an entire day off
right.
to go, which is fine. But
right.
I think one thing about Jordan Peterson that is just so backwards from like this very get your information quick society
oh, yeah.
that we live in mm-hmm. is he is so adamant about long form conversation.
Right.
He's so adamant about just like wholehearted listening and learning.
Right.
And finding the truth and unpacking the truth.
And dude, I love him. Like and he's the most misrepresented man on the internet, which is probably the best way you get information nowadays. He's the most misrepresented man on the internet because people just cut and paste his sound bites and it's just it's so sad because he is truly doing some of the best work for the world I think that anybody is doing. And yeah, and like you said, he's all about long form conversation. I've actually, this is insane. So this is what I do in my free time. I've been on the road a lot, traveling a lot of different places, and I've listened to 3 of his podcasts about, he's got a 12-part series on YouTube about the ideology of God, and I've listened to 2 of them, and they're 2.5 hours each. And jeez, I have learned so much about, I think, humanity and people and the way that we perceive the world. And if you actually listen to what the guy's saying, I don't know if there's anybody who explains life better. I mean, I don't know. It's just a thought.
He's very good at articulating what he wants to say, and he will break down that very, like, whatever your phrase is that you have, he will break that down to the very origins of that word or how that word was created.
Right.
And, like, every single thing, he takes you down that tunnel in a very calculated way that it's intense. Like, I'm not going to say it's easy to follow, but if you're sitting there listening and you're taking notes or you're dedicated to what he's saying in just a sense of learning, you don't have to, you don't have to agree with what he's saying, but if you want to learn, you can listen front to him and just gain some really cool information.
Right.
And you can either apply it to your life or just say, I am now a more intelligent person because I sat through a 2.5 hour of him speaking, or just sit down and listen to a 15-minute topic of his. Because if you're interested in something that he has talked about, he will do a really good job of
it. He will. He's researched and he's absolutely off the charts brilliant. And, he's got his heart in the right place.
My favorite thing, sorry to cut you off, Deck, but my favorite thing about Jordan Peterson that he spoke to, and I now have this as like my screensaver on my phone, is the balance between order and chaos. And I just, it's so prevalent in every single thing you do. And like his little example of like when you come home and you step on a Lego and your mind immediately goes in just this trance of just this path of just negative thoughts. Like, my life sucks. I hate my wife could leave me. My kids don't love me. Like, this is the darkest thoughts. I hate Legos. Yeah. And it's all because you stepped on a Lego. And now you have this immediate negative trance. And, or you can step on the Lego and be like, oh, kick it to the side and keep moving on.
Right.
And it's that balance of order of like, oh, you had a little chaos in it. Will you find that order again? Because chaos is not, it's going to rise every single day at different points. You'll never know when it's coming and order is never going to be completely equal. So you just have to understand that those ebbs and flows and those strikes and gutters. And now I just continuously remind myself that just balance, breathe and balance, because I can see myself going down those rabbit holes every single day and it's so dangerous. But when you have that kind of little awareness to try to make it a little more positive, it goes a long way.
Absolutely.
I think one reason why he gets misrepresented is because he's so intricate about unpacking his thoughts. So it's crazy to think about it or to say it, but 15 minutes of listening to Jordan Peterson is not enough to get the full story. And that's like the serious problem, is these people writing crap about him, or these people who are generating opinions on him are only spending the 15 minutes. They're not listening to the 4.5 hour Joe Rogan experience with him. And I think one thing that's just so different about the people who are like the dedicated podcast listeners is they will listen to an hour and a half. It may take them a day or two, but they will listen to start to finish of like your hour and a half long podcast. And that's like the hardest thing I think about our podcast sometimes, is we could record for, we've recorded anywhere from like 10 minutes to 2.5 hours. And, you know, almost a lot of people, like new listeners, are like, hey, can you shorten down your podcast? And it's like, dude, once you hit play, you gave us the download, and that's how we measure everything. After you hit play, it's up to you to figure out how much value you want to get from us, because we're not going to stop giving value to you. And I think that's just the best challenge of it all, is the people that are listening, like, it's their journey. Their journey.
I think podcasting, I think it's opened up an awesome a wave of like new media, maybe. I don't know if you'd call it new media, but just
absolutely new media.
Yeah, this this long form, uninterrupted, honest, and really just curious conversation. And I love it. That's why I listen to him. I mean, I think it's going to really change the world, and it already is changing the world, with guys like Joe Rogan, Jordan Peterson, Jocko,
Andrew and Sarah,
Declan Brown.
Yeah, there's a lot. They're podcasting. There's a lot left to be untapped. Right. A lot of unknown.
Right.
But you've been able to experience about a year and a half of 2 years almost now of the back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a marketing intern? Mm-hmm. Because first question, I guess, would be, what is a marketing intern?
Sure. It's someone who, well, you want my definition?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Someone who gets after it. And it's someone who listens to the Back Pocket podcast and tries to live a life according to just stay on the path and is trying to get better every day. And it's trying to see the good in other people. And that's trying to love and serve other people. I mean, that's what a marketing intern is.
Awesome. That's an excellent answer. Great answer. Great. Yeah. So then what does it mean to be a marketing intern for you personally, to be a part of the Back Pocket?
Oh man. You guys would be trying to record and I'd be trying to go to bed in the other room sometimes in college.
Yeah, because your room was right up against the studio.
Right against the window.
And there wasn't like those
walls. I mean, calling that a studio is a stretch.
The president of University of St. Thomas was in there. We had a lot of prestigious people walk through that room.
We did. I don't know how we got some of those people into our house.
Yeah. How was that, by the way? Like, I always remember just coming over. Like, we set a time, and I'd show up like 2 minutes before they got there. Andrew was scrambling to put stuff together, and like you and Mark were just like sitting on the couch, and then this random person walks into the house and is just like, hey, what's going on? Yeah. You're like, studio's over there.
Yeah. Some guys would be shirtless in there. And because I think when we brought Dr. Sullivan over, when me and you went and got
there. Yeah, we saved the day.
And Mark was.
You saved the day.
Thank you. I don't think I did, but I think it was team. Mark, wasn't he sitting in his graduation gown?
Yes, he was sitting in his graduation gown when President Sullivan came up. So Andrew was gone. He was like buying a new car and having trouble and couldn't get back in time.
Right.
And so I was like, I need someone, dude. And Greg, you were sitting on the couch and I was like, Greg, I need you. Let's go. Yeah. So we go and grab President Sullivan. You're just like snapping photos of us as we're walking.
I was paparazzi.
Yeah, dude, you were crushing it. Yeah. And then, Mark changes into his freaking gown. He's like, we hadn't graduated yet, but he changed into his full graduation gown.
Dude, he puts his little hat on.
He puts his hat on, dude, and he's like playing Fortnite or something, just acting normal. And President Sullivan walks in. He's like, hey, President Sullivan, how's it going? Mark Amick here. And she's like shocked, by the way.
And she's absolutely shocked at how atrocious, like dirty our house was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you guys didn't clean.
We cleaned.
It was naturally dirty.
But it was just a 130-year-old house.
Yeah. Priceless time.
Yeah, priceless time. So what does it mean for me to be a marketing intern?
Yes.
Of supporting you guys? It means... Well, it means I get to support two of my best friends. That in something that they truly love doing. And it's something that's making a difference in the world. That is what life's all about.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, that means the world to me. That's why you're here, you know. And I mean, I'm just fortunate I get to get something out of it, you know. I get to learn from you guys, and I get to participate in it, and I'm so thankful. You guys have taught me so much about how to start your own company, how to handle failure, how to just not care what other people think you about what you're doing. I mean, there's a couple of lessons, but what it means for me especially is just supporting two of my best friends in something that they love and something that's truly making the world better. However many people it may be, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. One person is...
It's enough.
It's enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Appreciate that answer, man.
Yeah, thank you. I think we were talking offline a couple of days ago, and I remember you saying, or I had asked you if you had listened to one of our Monday podcasts, and you're like, dude, I haven't really been listening to any of those. I've been listening to like all of the marketing interns,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because that's like the people you know best, mm-hmm. and of course you want to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, I mean, we've done this now for 20 weeks. What has been your favorite marketing intern spotlight? Ooh,
that's a great one.
Besides this one, this one's fire.
Well, we got Jackie over here in the corner.
Jack Burke. Shout out Jack Bark, dude.
Jack Bark was great. I don't know if I could pick one. I'm going to throw out a couple here.
Yeah.
You told me to listen to the first one. I believe his name was Muhammad.
Muhammad Malam.
Muhammad Malam. Yep. He was great. Jack was great. Jack Burke. Annie Vitale, our friend from college, blew me away. She did great. And then thickness, Jeremy Molina.
Jerry was so cool.
One of my...
Tapping into his mind.
Yeah. I mean, so I've known Jeremy my whole life. Or not my whole life. I've known Jeremy since 7th grade.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool.
So seeing Jeremy and how he's grown up and who he is now and hearing him on the talk on this podcast was kind of just a culmination of what's going on in Jerry's world. And there's a lot going up in that man's mind. And mm-hmm. It was really cool to hear him talk. And yeah, it was.
So I got a follow up question now.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to see on the podcast next? And this could be like a marketing intern, yeah, but this could be anybody also.
Okay. I'll
get it for you. Obviously, Jordan Peterson. Got to get him on.
Yeah.
Like, are we talking real? Like,
anybody
in the world?
Anybody.
Okay, the first one that popped in my mind was Wally Kaczynski.
That would be phenomenal.
That would be sweet.
Yeah. He just was on the Let's Keep the Ball Rolling.
Okay.
But he'll never, like, this is a totally different
feel. Totally different feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if we could get the Wally that we know.
We can tap into.
Oh, we can.
Yeah.
Declan and I will be the perfect people to tap into. Coach, yeah. Coach.
Because if the world could just get a little bit of Wally's world for a little while.
Yeah, that'd be phenomenal.
But so just a little bit of background for the people that don't know who we're talking about. He's the St. Thomas defensive coordinator, still is, and he's just a stud. And he's got the craziest mindset of anybody, which you expect from a defensive coordinator. So, yeah, but I think we got to exercise that one at some point in season 3 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's just such a character, so entertaining. Yeah, I think he'd be fun. I could give you I feel like I could just
laundry list of people.
But yeah, but that's one that jumped in my mind.
Back to you, Greg. So before we get to my final question, I would love to hear, 2018's coming to a close. What does 2019 look like? If it's still unknown, it's unknown. But what could happen in 2019?
Okay, so my tentative plan. Moving home after the semester's done, and I'm trying to take and pass my CPA exam. Hopefully that's going to take me to about July. I'm looking for full-time employment. I don't know what I want to do. I have absolutely no clue. And I got a offer for an internship out in Colorado this summer. May go back out there and do that. And then I might... If I can find another job around Chicago that's good paying and something I want to do, I might take that. And if I could find something up here and come back here and be with you guys, I would absolutely do that too. So those are my three things as far as work goes and where I'm going to live. Then other fun things. I got a lot of hobbies. Probably way too many. I need to throttle back and figure out ones I really want to get good at. But for right now, love guitar. I'm going to try and get the band rolling here.
If you start a band, dude, I'm going to be so fired up about that.
Yeah,
like when you said that already, I was like, this makes so much sense.
I got Yes, absolutely. I just need to get a little bit better myself. So that, and then I've gotten into rock climbing recently.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
Try and do more of that in 2019. I've gotten into jiu-jitsu. I love that. Gotta keep getting with
you
that.
You do have a lot of hobbies,
though. Yeah, I got too many. And then I love weightlifting. Gotta keep getting after that. And then hopefully I'll find some, like, Catholic men's something at home when I move home to keep my faith strong. And, yeah, so that's about...
Join the Knights of Columbus, dude.
My dad, is a 55-year member. Never been to a meeting. He got his 50-year pin in the mail. And he's like, oh, shit, never done this before. His dad signed him up when he was like 9.
Shout out Mr. E.
Oh, man. That'd be a guy to get on the podcast, too. Oh,
dude, absolutely. That is so funny.
Wow. That shocks me. All right, Gregory.
He's been a member for 55 Knights of Columbus, man. That, like, oh, man. That. Shout out to the Catholic Church, not a sponsor. But
not a sponsor.
Doing great things, obviously. Knights of Columbus, yeah. Also not a sponsor, doing great things.
Bunch of Catholic
boys. Oh, my God, I'm dying. You got signed up when he was 9? You signed up for, like, Knights of Columbus? Dad. Yeah, you signed up for the Knights of Columbus when you're, like, our age.
Right.
At the earliest.
Right.
I think. Either way, man. Yeah. Holy cow.
Awesome.
What'd take you learn today? Yeah, take a deep breath. Last question, man.
What I learned today.
I'm sorry. I got to get it together.
That's right. We can edit this, right?
No. The silence is better for the
silence
podcast.
Is golden, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We love silence.
Keep it simple, man. You went through your day-to-day routine. Right. You woke up. You made your bed. I know you made your bed.
Today's right. Tuesday, so you went to class.
So you had two classes today.
You know, I think what I was reminded of today, not something I already knew, but I think was just when you mentioned today about how when Jordan Peterson starts talking about how when you hit that chaos, how when the rug gets pulled out from under you,
you step on that Lego.
When you step on that Lego, or when other things, when, you know, when shit really hits the fan,
mm-hmm.
how you can either let it hit the fan or you can take a step back, take the situation for what it is, and restore some order. And keep one foot in that order and keep another foot in that chaos. So if you keep one foot in that order, you know who you are, you know where you stand, you know where your values are. And you keep that other foot in the chaos where you're willing to grow and to change. And you just don't get too far down that path of that chaos because it's all kind of in your mind. That really helped me today.
It is all a mind
game. So thank you, Andrew. That was good. That was mindful.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Mindful ain't a word.
Mindful's a word.
No way.
Regardless of what it was, dude, phenomenal time here on the podcast.
Awesome.
Like, love talking shop with you like this, bro.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, guys. This is, oh, man. I really, really, bottom of my heart, appreciate this, man. Keep doing the great work you guys do. You're really doing a great thing in this world.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a wrap.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of the Marketing Intern Spotlight. Before you go, would love to let you guys know about our survey. You can take our survey in the link of this this podcast, as well as follow us on The Back Pocket Podcast on Instagram. Hit us up on our blog on yourbackpockets, that's with an S.com. And of course, always stay in touch. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Subscribe, be a listener. Always interact with us, man. We'd love to provide value to you.